Welcome, and thanks for joining us for this episode of the C3 Church Podcast. You're about to listen into a message from one of our gatherings. To find out more about our community, where we gather both in person and online, and how to get involved, head to c3church.ca. Now, let's listen into a message from a recent service.
My name is Noel. For those of you who don't know my name, I'm Noel. I'm part of the preaching team here at C3 Church in Kelowna. We are starting a brand new series today, and the series is on the Holy Spirit. It's called Spirit Unleashed. Yeah. I have been looking forward to this particular series. Earlier in the year, we started with, you know, God, who God is, and the triune nature of God, and we spent time talking about the Father. We talked about, the next series was about Jesus and who Jesus was and what he accomplished. Now we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Yes. This is where things are going to get a little bit more practical for us. Because one of the things I love about the Holy Spirit, and actually what's really interesting this morning, first thing, I have a confession to make here, but this morning when we first came in, and we always have the people who are here first, there's always this little kind of a powwow thing that we have. We get together and we have this nice little gathering and we talk about what is going on in the church. We talk about, and there's always this little message. And Rachel got up and shared the message, but right before Rachel got up, Pastor Kim said something that was exactly what I was thinking about. She said, we're going to be starting this series on the Holy Spirit, and this is where it's going to become, and she said this word, more experiential. And I was like, oh, because here's the thing about this message today. And this is one of those things that I'm not used to this, okay? This is going to be a little bit different for me even. Every time when I'm asked to share, I'm asked to give sort of my notes to Pastor Josiah. Here's the notes that I have, what I've prepared. Here's what I'm going to be sharing on ahead of time. So I'll give him my notes and he goes through it. And he'll bring back feedback and all that kind of stuff. So I had that to him on Thursday morning, and I was ready to go with this. I'm like, I've got my figured out. It's all figured out. It's ready to go. And Friday morning, I woke up. I'd gone to bed. I had Friday off, and I had gone to bed early, and I said, Lord, I really need a good night's sleep tonight. I haven't had a good night's sleep. I've been away on a conference. I've been doing all these different things for the last several days. I haven't had a good night's sleep in a while. I just need a good night's sleep. And so I woke up at 4 a.m. The Holy Spirit, and I'm like, Lord, I wanted a good night's sleep. And he's like, no, you've slept enough. You can get up and come pray. All right. So I get up, and I'm praying, and I'm going, and the Lord says to me, he says, that message you've got prepared, he said, I want you to take all of the words that you wrote out of it. I want you to leave the main points and the scriptures, and you're going to trust me for this. All right, then. This new series, we're actually basing this new series on the scripture, Joel. In the book of Joel, it's chapter 2 and verse 28 and 29, and it says, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Yes. I love this scripture because this scripture was prophetic, and Joel was talking about the future. He was talking about after Jesus comes. He wasn't even talking about when Jesus comes. He was talking about after Jesus had come, he had died and risen again and ascended to heaven. And Joel was saying, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Anybody who ever tells you that women are supposed to be like not as much as, like not as high as men, you just got to go back to this scripture. He's like, no, I'm going to pour my spirit on both. So for the next few weeks, that's what we're going to be focused on as we move towards our Holy Spirit conference. We're going to be really focused on what is the Holy Spirit doing? Diving into what God is pouring out his spirit and what that means and what it means for us. So we're going to start just by praying here. So Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for every person here who, Lord, you are speaking. The Holy Spirit speaks to every person here. And even if they feel like they don't necessarily hear you all that much, that doesn't mean you're not talking. And Lord, I pray that through today and through the rest of this series, that each person who hears these messages, whether in this room or online or even listening to it a year from now on the internet, on YouTube, that they would start hearing, they would start preparing their hearts to start hearing you more. In Jesus' name. When I was in school, I remember being in elementary school. You probably all have this same experience. Being in elementary school, I would be sitting in there and the teacher would say, who can, put up your hands, who can tell me all of the capitals of the provinces of Canada? I was not one of the people to put my hands up. But there was always that one kid. Do you know what I'm talking about? That one kid, hand up high. You could see they could barely contain themselves. Like their bum was not even on the chair. They're like, ooh, ooh, me. Pick me. And the teacher would look around and they'd see this one. They might come back to that one if nobody else put their hand up. And that usually it was the little girl with the pigtails and the glasses and you know, the braces. Oh, I'm totally stereotyping right now. And the teacher would be like, okay, little Susie, come on up here and tell us all the things, right? I'm sorry if any of you were with the pigtails. And the. I'm not looking at anybody here. But she would get up and she would rattle off the provinces and their capitals. And the teacher would be like, well done, Susie. And she would get up and she would, you know, she'd walk back to her chair with that little smirk on her face and everybody else. What did everybody else call her?
Nerd.
Teacher's pet. Teacher's pet. And today we're going to actually, that's the title of today's message is Teacher's Pet. Now, how does that have to do with the Holy Spirit? Let's see what we can do here. In the original language, I had a whole bunch of stuff to teach here. I had Greek words for you. I had the whole bit. We're not doing most of that, so we'll see how this goes. I will say this though: in the original language, when we go through some of the scriptures that we have here today, there were two words, three words technically, but there were two main words for the word teach. Okay. One of those words meant, the original word was actually to sound down upon. That's what it translated exactly as. And it was actually meant to orate or to stand up at the front and share a message. The preacher gets up, preaches a message, you sit and listen. You're not talking. Well, sometimes Scott talks, but that's the way it is. It's like the preacher would get up and the preacher would talk, but that's not what the Holy Spirit does, okay? In John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, but the advocate, and if you're writing notes, I want you to maybe write down these words. There's a couple of words I'm gonna point out here in a couple of scriptures that we talk about, but it says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So if you're writing this down, or if you're circling this in your Bible, the words I want to point out here are advocate. I want you to write that one down or circle it. I want you to write down the word teach. And I want you to write down the word remind. Okay, we're going to come back to these words. These words are going to be very important. There's another scripture we're going to do the same thing, but these are the most important ones. In this scripture here, the word that meant to sound down upon was not the word that Jesus was using in this. He was using this other word. The other word is actually didasco, And what the word didasco means is it means to hold discourse with others in order to instruct them. It actually comes from another Greek word that means to learn. And the context, if you put this verse in there, what it means is it's effectively instruction that actively involves both the instructor and the learner. It's totally different from the word that means, hey, I'm going to just talk at you for an hour and a half. Right? Totally different word. Interesting little thing about that word is that it nearly always, every time this word is used in the New Testament, nearly every single time, it is referring to instruction based on Scripture itself. It's always based on the Word of God. Okay? Now, this is important. We're going to tie this together in a moment here. Now, part of what the Lord was wanting me to do with this today was to tell stories. And I'm going to just share some stories that have happened in my life or things that I'm aware of or things that I know of that I think will help along with this. So I'm going to just tell what this morning I was literally while we were singing, I was like, Lord, I'm just going to have to trust you for these stories. I don't know which ones you want me to share in the moment. So let's go for it. That first verse there, it said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and the old men will dream dreams, the young men will see visions. It shares this picture of what he's going to do. So I'm going to share this little story of when I was a little kid. So I was 4 years old. When I was 4 years old, my parents split. My dad left. My dad had been a traveling evangelist around northern Alberta, speaking to the First Nations people. He unfortunately decided that he was going to walk away from God, and he decided to leave our family. We were dirt poor, and when I say that, I mean we were dirt poor. We lived in two little travel trailers that had been stuck together with a little thing built in between so you could walk between them. We had a porta potty to go to the bathroom on. That's what we lived in. That's what I lived in when I was 4 years old. My mom was broken. She would cry herself to sleep every day. She would lay on her bed 9 hours a day, crying. As a little kid, you don't understand any of this stuff. You don't understand things, and you don't know what's going on. You just know that dad's not around. Mom's really sad. Why is everything like this? But you also experience trauma as a child. And it's funny because I always see this whenever I see, you know, famous people announcing that they're separating and they have small children. I'm like, oh, those poor kids. Like, that's my first reaction, is those poor kids. Part of my trauma was that I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would see the face of the devil on my wall. I would see this face on the wall laughing at me, calling me names. And when you're 4 years old, this is totally traumatic. I would get up and I would run to my mom's room and I would cry and I'd be like, Mom, sing Jesus songs, do something, help me out here. And my mom couldn't. She told me, I can't. Ask Jesus to come and help you. As a 4-year-old kid, I had my little sister who was 2. We slept in one of these travel trailers. It was 2 bunk beds. I was on the lower bunk bed. She was on the upper one. Next to our bunk beds, it was like on the one wall. And next to it, right just at the foot of where I slept, we had a little chair, smaller than the chairs you're sitting on. It was just a little kid's chair that we had. I prayed and I asked, I said, Lord, like I asked him, Jesus, please help me. That's all I could do. That's all I knew to ask. I didn't know anything else. And one night, in the middle of the night, I thought it was morning. I woke up and it was bright in my room. And as it was bright in my room, I rolled over and there was Jesus standing at the foot of my, or standing at our, next to our bed. And he picked me up, and he picked my sister out of bed. Forgive me if I start crying, because it's still one of those things. It's just a beautiful story. It's just beautiful to me. It's one of those things to me. It's amazing that he does things like this. He got me out of bed, and he sat on that little chair next to where I was, next to our bed. And he sat down, and he put me on one knee, and he put my sister on his other knee. And apparently my computer decided to just stop working. Wonderful. But he put us on that, on his knee, and he started to tell me. He said, you know, he said, when I was a little boy, my parents didn't understand me. And he said, I had things to do, and I knew where I needed to be, but I needed to obey my parents. And he taught me my first Bible verse: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And he told me that he would be with me, and that he would always love me. And he put my sister and I back into our beds. He tucked us in, and I watched him go to the other side of the room, and I watched him walk through the wall. Coolest thing a little four-year-old's ever seen in his life. And I got out of bed, and I ran to the window, and I watched him go back up into the clouds. And the clouds opened up, and when he went through, they closed again, and he was gone. I told my mom the next morning, and it was like it healed a part of her. It changed my life hugely. It was one of those things that as a kid, like, I don't understand what I'm seeing. I don't really understand more than really just the moment of my own brokenness being healed. I don't even really understand that. I just know that Jesus is there, and I feel better. That's what I understand as a four-year-old. When we live our lives in a way, and I don't know why my computer's deciding to do this, but we're going to have to figure this out, so I apologize. It's going to be a little bit different here, I guess. He wants to teach. Now, I said, here's Jesus, right? And we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And I want to tie this together, because that scripture that we read right at the beginning, I will pour out my flesh on, or I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your young men will have visions. I was a pretty young man at that point. If you go back to the life of Jesus, one of the things that Jesus does is, during his time, he would always say, what I hear my Father saying, yes, is what I do. Yeah. What I hear from the Father is what I do. And then he tells us, I'll go up to the Father, and the Father will send the Spirit. Right at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, just before he even starts anything, he goes and gets baptized by John, and the Father sends the Holy Spirit to Jesus. Like a dove, he comes down, he rests on Jesus. And so you can kind of put together this idea that as Jesus is hearing from the Father, he's hearing that through the Holy Spirit, because he has the Holy Spirit on him. And then when he goes to heaven, he says, I'm sending that same Holy Spirit to come to you, to help you out, to give you direction, to do what you need to do. So here, Jesus is telling me, he's put me on his lap, and he's telling me this scripture. He's teaching me. But as we learned in this previous series that we had, Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are all one. If you take a look throughout scripture, what you always find is this: the Holy Spirit always points to Jesus. Jesus always points to the Father, and the Father always sends the Holy Spirit. They work in one. And so when I'm sitting there and Jesus is teaching me, I believe he's speaking to me through the Holy Spirit, using the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense to everybody? Yeah? All right, good. All right. I don't know what has happened here. It's completely crashed. This is crazy. 1 second, everybody. I have to figure this out while I go. All right. When I was, as I worked through a lot of these things in my life, and as I've grown, one of the things that I've found is that the Holy Spirit has spent a fair bit of time teaching me throughout my life. When Jesus promised me that he was going to be with me my whole life, I had no idea what he meant. And I could spend this entire thing and probably a lot more time talking about some of the cool things that God has done. Even though I'm up here telling you, here's some of the cool things that God has done, I want to point out one thing here. The only reason I'm telling you what God has done for me is because I want each of you to have the same. Because here I am, I'm just a guy from Kelowna in Canada who knows next to nothing about a lot of things. And yet the Holy Spirit would choose to talk to me, and I believe he would choose to talk to any one of you if that's what you'd like to do. Wow, this thing is just completely dead. I don't know what's happening here. All right. Holy Spirit, it's up to you now. This is all you. Technology doesn't want to work. This is all Holy Spirit. All right. One of the things that, as we start working through, remember I said I want you guys to circle or write down the word advocate, okay? Can I bring up my first point there? The one that says that the Holy Spirit is advocate, that's the first one there. There's a word that actually comes, it's actually called paraclete. This word is actually an English word that is currently used to describe a legal counsel. It's used to describe somebody who is somebody who advocates on someone's behalf. It's used, the actual original word in the scripture really talks about someone being a helper, a comforter, or the advocate. And that's the word that's translated, but we actually get this word in English, paraclete, from the original Greek word that was there. In that word, with these translations, this scripture that we just looked at, Jesus says, I will send the advocate. In your Bible, it might say helper, it might say comforter. Depends on the translation that you're reading, but it says, but the helper, in this particular case up here, the translation, I think it's the New Living Translation, will say the advocate will come and help you, whom the Father will send in my name. This particular word, in this particular scripture, he's actually saying here that the advocate is someone who is going to help. Now, I want to break this down a little bit because there's actually this idea of advocate actually has two sort of main meanings to it. The first meaning of advocate is someone who goes to court on your behalf. If you were to take this into the actual court system, he would actually, it would be your lawyer who's defending you before the judge. If you ever watch those, legal shows or whatever, and you see the court proceedings and you see there's the defendant sitting there behind the table and the lawyer gets up and he's the one who talks on behalf of the defendant. And what happens if the defendant tries to say something in the court? You know, in the show, it's like the defendant gets up, he's all angry. He's like, no, that's not how it went. What does the judge do? It's like, sit down, shut up, let your lawyer talk. Let the grown-ups speak here, right? This is an interesting little thing because there is another verse here, and I believe it might be the next one. It's the one that, yeah. What's the next verse that we have on this thing? Oh, no, that's, okay. I'm sorry. Let me get my thing back up here again because I had to restart the whole computer. But this is, I apologize for the confusion there. When he sits, the scripture that I wanted to mention here is this scripture, the idea that the Holy Spirit, He will pray on our behalf. He will teach us on our behalf. The Holy Spirit gives us utterance when we don't know. It says that in our weakness, the Holy Spirit gives us utterance because we don't know how to pray. And a lot of times it's like we use this scripture as a sort of a thing like, oh, Holy Spirit, pray through me, help me understand. And we're praying for other things. And that's legitimate. That's fine. But the words that are used in the scripture, as soon as I get this up here, I'll... All right, let's try this one more time. See if this works. Come on. You can do it. We're there. It worked. Yay. All right. Let's get ourselves back on track here. All right. Romans 8:26. That's the one that I want. Romans 8:26. And then I'll go back to the other one. So sorry about that, Uli. All right. Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Now, this is a really interesting little scripture because what this says, like I said, we think of this in terms of, hey, this is us. But, you know, the Holy Spirit telling us what we need to pray for someone else. But what this is actually saying here is the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We are too weak to defend ourselves before God. We don't have the ability. We don't know what we're supposed to say that would help us before the Lord. And the word that he uses here that says himself intercedes for us is this word that says make petition for. The Holy Spirit makes petition for us before the Lord, before God. All right. The second meaning of this word advocate is supporting and promoting God's way to us. An advocate supports a particular cause and promotes that cause to others. Hebrews 10, verse 15 to 16 says, "And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds.'" When I was a little kid, Jesus was writing that law on my heart, on my mind. And it's been something that has been inside of me right from then. Now, the second point that I have here is that the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Yes. If he's teaching us, if he's our teacher, he's going to walk us into what is the truth. Billy Graham said this. He said, "The Holy Spirit illuminates the minds of people, makes us yearn for God, and takes spiritual truth and makes it understandable to us." I remember I had you write that down. I had that this scripture, it was, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will..." This is John chapter 15, verse 26. I believe that's the next one that I have on the page. He says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." Jesus calls this the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. He actually says a couple of different words about the Spirit of truth throughout, like about the Holy Spirit. He uses various descriptors about the Holy Spirit when he's talking about him. And these various words that he uses they're very, very much about what the role of the Holy Spirit is. And each time he talks about them, he's really trying to draw our attention to not just the fact that the Holy Spirit is coming, but you need to listen to him. That's the idea. The word truth, when he uses this word Spirit of truth, the word truth is what is true in things pertaining to God and the duties of man. The Holy Spirit's nature is to teach us the primary truth about what? About Jesus, about Jesus and his role, who he is, what he did. Every doctrine, that we have, the Holy Spirit teaches, every doctrine that we have that the Holy Spirit teaches us is based on this one fact, that Christ is who he said he is. Chapter 1, verse 16 to 22 says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him sounds like the truth, right? Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you might know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him as a right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to be the church. It's interesting. He says that you may know. He uses this verse. He uses this, that you might know what is the hope to which he has called you. That you might know. The definition of the word know is to perceive, to understand, to appreciate, or to grasp a spiritual truth. That you might know. And what is it that you're learning, but you're grasping? The hope that he's called you to. What are the riches of his inheritance in the saints? The immeasurable greatness of his power. He goes through this whole list of what those are. And every one of those things that he says that you would know is based on the idea that Jesus is Lord. Every last one of them. Nothing that we as Christians truly believe, if it is the right thing, and there are some doctrines that as Christians, sometimes we don't necessarily get right, but everyone that is right is based on Jesus as Lord. Everything is based on that. In John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, this is one that I didn't get a chance to get up on screen earlier because of my computer here, but it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Uli's on top of it today. He will guide you into all the truth. The word all there in that scripture, looking at that, what does that word all mean? Who can guess? All. It's pretty easy. I love this word because what this word is actually saying is not just all, but it actually means all the things. That's what the word actually means, is all the things. He will guide you into truth about all the things. But here's the problem. All the things is a lot of things, right? How on earth am I going to remember all the things? How am I going to remember all the things? Our brains can hold up to, I'm going to get super nerdy for everybody right now. We were talking about being the nerd. Our brains can hold up to 2.5 petabytes of information. Does anybody know what a petabyte is? Does anybody know what a gigabyte is? Kind of. Does anybody remember megabytes? Okay, quick little computer nerd lesson for you. You remember the old floppy disks? Like the little square things? The save button still looks like those, right? Okay, one of those could hold 1 megabyte. Who remembers DVDs? We live in streaming now, right? So DVDs hold about 4 gigabytes. So that's 1,000 or 4,000 megabytes. Then you have terabytes, which is 1,000 gigabytes. And then you have petabytes. So a petabyte is 1,000 gigabytes. All right, that does not matter to today. It's not on the test. But here's the thing. If you were to put that in something that we can all understand, if you played video in your brain for 300 years straight without stopping, that's about 2.5 petabytes. So your brain can hold a whole lot. a whole lot of information. Your brain can hold a lot of information. And your brain, but here's the problem. How do I access all of that? You ever watch a video and you're like the video's playing and you think you miss a little part, or you want to go back and watch another part of it? And so you click on that little thing and you drag it back trying to find the spot on the video where it is, and you have no idea. Or you ever try to do it on the phone where you're like using your finger to try and do it on the phone and it's just not finding the spot right? This is the third point that I want to get across today, is that the Holy Spirit reminds us. In John, back in that original scripture, it says, and this is where that third thing that I wanted you to circle was on that scripture, it says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. When Jesus was saying this to the disciples, he was talking about the specific words that he was using with the disciples at the time. But he's also talking to us, and he's saying, I want to remind you of everything that's in the scripture. I want to remind you of everything that you know in the scripture. I want to share one more story. I'm going a little over time here, and I'm going to do this as quickly as I can because I don't want to spend too much, go past this too much. But last week, I was in Las Vegas. And while I was in Las Vegas, there was this, when I go for our conference that I was going to, our conferences are usually just like you wake up, you go to work, then you go out for dinner, and then you go to bed. That's the day. And every day is like that. And I might get one evening or something to myself to just kind of relax a little bit. So my one evening was Wednesday night. I was praying. I decided I was going to just spend some time with the Lord that night. I just wanted to spend some time seeking him. And as I'm praying, I'm in my hotel room. I'm looking out over the city of Las Vegas, not the hotel itself, or not like the strip. I'm just talking about looking at the city. I can see the houses in the distance. I'm looking at all the people. And the scripture pops into my head. The scripture is this scripture that says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will see the kingdom of heaven. So I look up poor in spirit, and it says, blessed are those people who know or discover their need for God, for they will see, who recognize their need for God, for they will see. So I'm thinking about the scripture, and I'm praying, and I'm like, Lord, how is one supposed to help people know that they're a poor in spirit? How do you get a person to realize that? How do you help them? And he said, just trust me and let me do my thing. Just do what I tell you to do. I'm like, okay. So as I'm thinking about this and praying about this, I had this image of the previous couple of nights, I had been walking back from dinner. And as I'm walking by one of the hotels, there's this bench in front and there's this homeless guy sitting on this bench. And as I'm praying this out, I have this image of this person flash in front of me of this guy on this bench. I'm like, Lord, do you want me to go talk to this guy? Like, I don't know what I need to do right here. What do I want to do? So I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll get going down there. And I head down this way. There's 3-4 hotels between me and where this bench was. And there's a little train that'll take you to kind of right near there. And so I go down. As I'm getting ready to go down there, the Lord says very clearly, I heard this very, very clearly, give your shoes. I'm like, my shoes. And long story short, I'm like, okay, wouldn't it be better if I bought shoes for somebody? Like, give your shoes. All right, Lord. So I put my shoes in my backpack and I head down there and I take the little train and I get to where that other hotel was. And I'm walking down the street and I get to where that bench is and the homeless guy is not there. And I'm like, Lord, am I missing something here? What's going on? What happened? I misunderstood something. So I decided to sit on the bench for a minute, and I'm sitting there, and the Lord says to me, look around. Now, this is Wednesday night during spring break on the Las Vegas Strip. There's a lot of people on the Strip. And I'm looking back and forth, looking at the people across the street. I'm looking back and forth on here. And when you're in Las Vegas, you don't really see people. You see the crowd, right? But all of a sudden, I'm looking, and all of a sudden, I see the people. I'm looking at each of them with their smiling faces. Some people are smiling and laughing. Some people look down. I've seen all these different people. And the Lord says, you thought the homeless man was the poor in spirit. All these people are the poor in spirit. All these people need to recognize their need for me. And I'm like, Lord, how am I supposed to reach this? Like, that's cool, but how am I supposed to reach all these people? I could talk to maybe one or two of them. How am I supposed to get all these ones? And he says again, just listen to what I'm telling you. Just obey. So I get up and I head back towards the hotel, and I'm thinking to myself, like, what's with the shoes? Like, why the shoes? I get to the train to take the train back to where my hotel is. There's five cars on the train. There's probably 30, 35 people standing around waiting for the train to come. There's people standing right behind me. I'm standing in front of the middle car, and I'm waiting. I notice all these people. The door's open. I step onto the train. All the people around me get onto the other cars. I'm the only person on the middle car of this train, and I'm like, that's weird. What's going on? Do I smell? Like, what's happening? And just a few seconds before the doors close to the car, this other guy gets on. He looks like a gangster. The baggy pants, the big overstuffed jacket, the bandana, the dark skin. I'm looking at him, and I am ashamed to admit, my first thought was, I'm about to get mugged. Not only that, but just like seconds before the doors close, he puts his stuff down, he turns around, he sees me, then he steps outside the car, looks left and right, and then comes back on the car. Oh, now I'm really getting mugged. I'm thinking, oh, this is not good at all. He sits down across from me, but he doesn't do anything to me. He was a nice guy. It was my preconceived notion, and I'm ashamed to admit it, but here's the thing. He looks down and adjusts his shoes. He's wearing two different shoes. He's wearing a bright yellow one and a black one. They're both falling apart, and neither one of them has laces. This train ride between hotels is maybe 5 or 7 minutes long. And we're halfway down this thing, and I'm sitting there looking at him like, this is the shoes. This is why the shoes got. You want me to talk to this guy? And I'm thinking to myself, like, I don't know if I can do this. But I'm like, I think to myself, no, I can't miss an opportunity here. I cannot miss an opportunity. So I went, all right, Lord. I said to the guy, hey, excuse me, do you mind if I come sit by you? And he's like, oh, yeah, by all means, come sit. I get up and I sit down. I'm like, please forgive me if I'm overstepping, but do you need shoes? He says, I don't have a job right now. Yeah, I need shoes. I told him, well, I was up in my room a few minutes ago, and the Lord told me to, I was praying, the Lord told me to come down and give my shoes to somebody. I think these are for you. And I pull out these pair, is a newer pair of Vans brand shoes that I had. Pull them out of the backpack, put them down in front of him. He looks at them and he's like, wow, these are the good ones. All right. For the next half hour, we rode that train back and forth between those hotels. And I preached the gospel to him for a half hour. And you know what happened? Is during that half hour, people got on and off that train, on and off that car, every time we were back and forth. We were back and forth between those two hotels several times. And people kept getting on and off that thing. People would be having conversations, and as they stepped on, they'd see me preaching the gospel. Every last person shut up and stared and listened to the gospel being preached to this guy for a half hour. They listened to this conversation of him telling me what he knew of God and how that he was in prison and that when he left prison, he wasn't sure whether he should grab a Bible because it might be bad luck, and how I encouraged him to get a Bible and to be like, no, it's not going to be bad luck. It's going to be the opposite of that for you. There was a business guy who got on. He was so uncomfortable that when the train started to slow down, he jumped up and his face was right in front of the doors. And he couldn't wait for the doors to open. He wanted, like, if it was any more uncomfortable, he would have been clawing to open the doors. One lady was so moved by the gospel being shared that her and her family had gone out to get food that they were going to bring back. And the food that she had with her, she gave to the guy that I'm preaching to. I went back up to the room after praying with this guy for a little bit, talking to him. And I was like laugh crying, you know what I'm talking about? Like I was like, this was amazing to me. And the Lord said, that is how you reach people. You focus on the thing I tell you to do and you let everybody else see, because everybody who got on that train had to face in that moment the fact that they need me. It's one of the most, to me, it was just one of those amazing little experiences where God is like, I want to work in you. I want to do amazing things in you. So I want to start closing with this. I just want to close with this sort of a concept here. Remember I talked about the teacher's pet earlier, right? What makes someone a teacher's pet? The teacher's pet is the kid in the class who listened, who paid attention, who took the time to learn the material. When the teacher said, I want to teach this one thing, the teacher's pet said, I'm going to learn that. I'm going to understand it because I want to do well on the test. I want to make sure that I can, when I get called up, that I can share those things, that I can share what you need. But here's the problem with a lot of things. And I'm just going to ask this question, and I want each of our hearts to start being prepared for this today. Because over the next few weeks, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're really spending time getting into the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask you this. How many of you feel like you hear the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, clearly? I mean, sometimes I don't put my hands up quite as much for that question as I'd like to. It's a tougher one. Would any of you like to hear the two-step process for hearing the Spirit of God more clearly? Do you know it's a two-step process? That's all it is. It's easy. It's also very difficult, but it's easy. Step one, James chapter 4, verse 8. It says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Step two, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of God. That's it. Those are the two steps. Draw near to God. That's a heart thing. Go after him. Look for him. Seek him. And step two, get in the word of God. Get the word of God in you. That's how you're going to start hearing. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people think it's going to take a long time before you start really hearing the voice of the Lord. It does not. If your heart is to get into the presence of God, you want to be with him, and you want to get his word inside of you, you get that in your heart, it won't be very long before you start hearing his voice way more clearly. But like I said, it's going to be more difficult because he's going to ask you to do things. He's going to ask you to get up and give your shoes, and you're going to be like completely confused as to why you need to do that. I got one last little thing as I close this out. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up afterwards, and we're going to, anybody who feels like, hey, I want to get closer to God, I want to hear the Spirit more, I encourage you to come up and pray with the prayer team. But I want to share this one thing. Yesterday morning I was praying. I got up early yesterday morning as well, and I was praying, and I was saying, Lord, I really want to do the things. I want to be led by you. I want you to lead me more. And I had this picture of, you know, the people of Israel in the as they leave Egypt and as they are in the wilderness. It says that the Spirit of the Lord, that the presence of the Lord appeared to them in a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. And whenever they would walk around, the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire would go before them wherever they went. And I was like, yes, Lord, that's exactly how I want to be led. I want to be led by that. And you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? He said, yeah, I was leading them, but I had to lead them through the wilderness for 40 years because of their unbelief and their fear. And I wanted to lead them into the promised land. As a Christian, I don't want to go through the wilderness again. And so as we call the prayer team up, if you're tired of going through the wilderness, if you're tired, yeah, maybe I am led by the Spirit, or maybe I need to hear the Spirit of God more. I don't want to go through the wilderness anymore. I want to go where He wants me to go. And I need to get rid of some fears. I need to get rid of some unbelief. And I encourage you to come get prayed for. So I'm going to pray. We'll have the prayer team come up, and then we'll go from there. So Father God, thank You so much for Your word. Thank You that You work on the hearts of everybody here, that You know every person individually. And Lord, as each person faces their need for You and their need to hear and to listen to the Holy Spirit, Lord, help us over these next few weeks to really get into that, to really start opening up our hearts and our minds to hear You, to focus on You, so that when we have our Holy Spirit conference, that You can do mighty things. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for tuning in today. Each week, we gather in cities across our region and online to explore the truth of freedom available to all in the message of Jesus Christ. To find a gathering near you or to find out more, head to c3church.ca.